This is Bible Truth for Living. Stand by for your hosts.
Welcome to our podcast. I'm Jeff McCrary, and this is Bible Truth for Living. You know, tattoos are more popular than ever in our world today. Currently, 1 in 5 U.S. adults has at least one tattoo. That's about 21% of our population. That's up from about 16% about 10, 15 years ago. Entertainers, professional athletes, even a 2009 version of Barbie doll had multiple and very visible tattoos. With such prevalence and rising interest, Christians rightfully ask, what does the Bible say about tattoos? It's great to have Bo Couchman with us. He's going to help us with some ideas concerning what the Bible says about tattoos. Welcome, Bo, to our podcast.
Thanks, Jeff. It's good to be with you, and you're exactly right. This has become not just with the younger generation. Sometimes we point to things like this and say, oh, well, the kids are doing this. It's not just the younger generation. It's people of all ages. Tattoos have become very popular, and it's something that obviously we ought to give some credence to anything that the Bible has to say about this, because there are some who hold the view that Christians shouldn't do this, and it's sinful to do this. So we want to look today at some passages that might bear on this and really bring to mind some things we need to be thinking about with regard to this.
When you think about a subject like this, there are a lot of subjects like this about which there is no specific one Bible passage that clears all the questions up. There's some judgment that has to be involved and some principles of appropriateness that we'll talk about in connection to this. But what say you, Bo? Does the Bible have anything to say about tattoos?
Well, Jeff, it doesn't have a lot to say about it. In fact, there's only one verse in the Old Testament that even uses an English word that's translated from an original language, and that's Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 28, where it says that God said to the people of Israel, "You shall not make any cuts on your body for the dead or tattoo yourselves. I am the Lord." Now, the word translated here is from a Hebrew word which means literally to cut. It really did not have reference to the injection of ink under the skin, which is the modern-day version of what we think of when we think about tattoos. But what God was instructing to Israel here about this was to avoid practices that would tie them to the idolatrous activities of the nations around them. That's what they were being instructed to avoid. In ancient times, tattoos were, or skin cutting is literally what we're talking about, was a very popular thing. It might have included at times injecting skin inlaying ink into the skin, which is a practice similar today. But it was very common, particularly among women who would adorn their bodies with images of idols that represented fertility. And they might put those tattoos or those marks or those scarrings at particular places on their body, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. In Canaan, evidence indicates that instead of marking the body with ink, they did more extreme things, scarring their body, or what we might term branding or slashing the body or gashing the skin. There's a passage in 1 Kings chapter 18, an episode where Elijah was having a contest with the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel. And you will recall this was a really spectacular event in the way that God displayed that he was the true God. But in this contest, they had two altars, and they were trying to see which God would bring fire down to signify that he was the true God. And the prophets of Baal were calling on their Baal to bring fire to their altar. And in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 28, Elijah was kind of mocking them. And it says there that they cried aloud and cut themselves after their custom with swords and lances until the blood gushed out upon them. So
sounds gruesome.
Yeah, it really gives a sense, though, of what some of these idolatrous Canaanite people would do in the name of worshiping the idols that they worship.
And it does say it was after their custom.
After their custom, something that they regularly did. Now, that's pretty much the extent of any indication we have from Scripture about God's instruction to Israel about cutting themselves. The passage we talked about in Leviticus that talks about tattoo, the word that it's translated from literally means cut, not necessarily stain or paint or inject ink. But the question we would raise today is, you know, we observe, Jeff, in our culture sometimes, we'll see people who are just almost covered with tattoos. They even now have terminology which almost equates tattoos with clothing. You'll see a person and you'll say, oh, you got a sleeve, and where their arm is completely covered, or both their arms or even their legs are covered with tattoos. What should a Christian's attitude and practice toward this be? When we consider Leviticus 19, where we're keeping several things in mind, the first of those would be the Old Testament is not a guide for us today. This was a law given specifically to the Hebrew people by God. It was for a specific period of time. The New Testament makes clear, particularly the book of Hebrews is just a profound writing with regard to this, that the Old Testament's no longer in force as a law or a direction for our relationship with God today. But it's clear from the teaching in the Old Testament that God didn't want his people involving themselves in practices that imitated or showed sympathy or agreement with false religions around them. So there was a concern there, and I think it's safe to say that God would want us to have a similar attitude. We don't want to be involved in things that give the impression that we are sympathetic with or in agreement with practices that are clearly sinful. So the issue that comes up is, do tattoos represent a false religion today? It's a fair question. I don't know that the New Testament really addresses that specifically, but what I want us to consider is several guidelines with regard to this. We are doing something to our body. And the Bible does,
to some degree, permanent.
And it is there is a permanence to it. You can have them removed, but it's a very can be a very painful process and a very difficult process. So we need to be concerned about the use of our body in a way that brings glory to God. And the first idea that I would represent here is that our body's a temple. I mean, 1 Corinthians 6 clearly teaches that. Now, this is in the context of sexual immorality. But what Paul writes there in 1 Corinthians 6, in verse 19, he said, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You're not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. God has a high view of our physical body. He created it. You know, our appearance as human beings, the way that we appear, and I don't mean just you have a certain color hair or certain color eyes. Man is distinct from every other creature on earth in his appearance. Mm-hmm. Nobody has a problem looking at a creature and going, is that a human being? I mean, we're easily recognizable. That's by God's design. So when we modify our body or modify how our body looks, and in some cases, in extreme cases, when people go to the extreme that they sometimes do with the way they mark their body, and I'm not just talking about tattoos, but when they mark their body in some way that it looks less human or even more like an animal than a human being, are we disfiguring our bodies in a way that hides the beauty of God's creation? We need to think about what it is we're doing with our bodies. And Paul says there at the end of that passage in verse 20, glorify God in your body. If we cover up our body with ink, are we doing it to glorify God? Which brings us to the second point, which I think we need to consider. What is our motive in this? Why are we doing this? Some people would say, well, I'm getting a tattoo as a sign of rebellion. Well, what are you rebelling against? And would that be something God would want you to rebel against? Paul wrote in the passage we just read to glorify God in your bodies. So in our bodies, the way that we behave, our appearance and our actions are intended to glorify God. Does rebellion against authority glorify God? Now, others may have a different motive. I've seen, and in fact know people, who have Bible verses tattooed on their bodies. And, you know, perhaps that's commendable. But let's keep in mind that a picture of a verse on your body is not a substitute for the responsibility that we have to take the gospel to the lost. This doesn't alleviate my responsibility to try to teach people the truth. Well, I'm not going to say anything. I just put it on my body and I let people read it there. Well, that's not exactly what God had in mind when he told the disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel.
You know, one of the things that I think about when I think about tattoos and the permanence of tattoos, at least largely they're permanent, is how I've changed in my lifetime. And there are some things that I may have agreed to when I was 20 or 25 or even 30 years old, and I was so certain at that time that I would regret if I had gone ahead and engaged in that activity or if I'd done that. And so it is a, you know, maybe there's some tattoos about which there is no doubt, some messages, some images, but certainly I've had to rethink a lot of things in life, and I think we should be cautious in terms of that because of the permanence of it. It's a big decision, and most people, even in the tattoo business, would advise and recognize and counsel people. It's a big decision.
Oh, sure. I think one of the things any artist who does this for a living, one of the first things they ask one of their clients is, do you really want this? Because once this is injected, this ink is injected under your skin and the mark is left on your skin, getting rid of it is a much more difficult thing. You talk about the idea of permanence, and that gets to another consideration here, and that is that our influence has to be a serious consideration. With regard to the permanence of this, you know, I've seen, and perhaps you've seen these as well, some of these, I think, commercials that I've seen where people have gotten tattoos where a word was misspelled or something, and it's comical. You know, we look at it and go, oh, that's funny, yeah. When in fact, the message of it is, you should have thought about this, or you should have been more careful about this. Or think about the 16-year-old boy who thinks he's found the love of his life, and gets a girl's name tattooed on his arm, and 3 weeks later she breaks up with him. Well, what does he do now? Now he's got somebody's name on his arm that perhaps his life's pursuit then is to find another girl with that name because he's because he's stuck with it. But the idea of permanence emphasizes the responsibility here and the idea of influence. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, with regard to influence, you're the salt of the earth. I want you to have the ability to influence people, and that influence needs to be positive and good. It's very difficult for anybody. You mentioned about things that you might have considered when you were younger. We don't think about them when we're younger. We don't think about our actions and what effect or impact that might have 10 or 20 or 30 years down the road, and we need to think about that.
We can't really know.
We can't
know. When we're 25 years old, what the impact of some, a lifelong decision that we make. Even we think about marriage as something that we enter into, and it is a lifelong relationship by God's will. Yet that is something that we will sacrifice even our lives to remain faithful to. And so it is a big decision, and something like this is not on the level of a marriage or something such as that.
One other point that we'd make with regard to this is the idea of modesty, I think, comes into this. When we understand what the biblical idea of modesty is about, it would obviously include the covering of the body, so as not to cause another person to lust after because we're displaying too much of our body. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul adds these words to Timothy in verse 9, that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. I don't think Paul is letting men off the hook by noting this about women. The godly person should appear and behave in a way that is designed to reflect on God. The glory goes to God. Jesus said, let your light shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify God. When we talk about modesty, we're not simply talking about being careful how much we cover. We're talking about an attitude that says, I'm not going to draw attention to my appearance. Some of the outlandish tattoos that you sometimes see people have, and it's almost like they go out of their way to bare their body to show them, depending on where they are obviously designed to bring attention to themselves.
To the body.
Right, to the body.
Peter says in 1 Peter 3 that we need to emphasize the godly character within us, not by parading the outward appearance and letting that be our emphasis. And so this would be a concern that if, you know, you can get into the tattoo culture to the degree that you're looking, and there are some people who are, you know, looking for more places where I can put another tattoo. We need to recognize that our emphasis needs to be to the inward man, to that meek and quiet spirit that is precious in God's sight, 1 Peter 3.
Absolutely. And finally, the final thing we'd note, which is perhaps the most obvious, is there can be medical concerns with regard to this. When you get a tattoo, you're cutting the skin. This leaves scars. It opens the skin to all kinds of airborne pathogens. There can be allergic reactions, infections, bloodborne diseases. The Mayo Clinic has advised in today's climate that tattooing carries a definite risk, a definite health risk. We're talking about deliberately opening your skin. So, and recall, I mean, the people who do this may be professional artists, but tattoo parlors are not medical clinics. You know, they're not free of any possible, you know, they're not sterile of any possible thing that we might be exposed to. So, with that regard, think before you ink.
There you go. We'll be back after this message.
Glad you joined us for this edition of Bible Truth for Living. Our podcasts are intended to encourage you to explore God's Word as the source of real truth, as that which tells us about the plan God has for us, both now in this life and in the future. We solicit your comments, your questions, and suggestions for future podcasts. Go to our website, BibleTruthForLiving.com, and click on the Contact Us area to send us your comment and your questions. We'll do everything we can to provide a Bible answer for your questions, and we'll certainly consider addressing the issues that are of importance to you in future podcasts when you give us such suggestions. Now, let's get back to our show.
Okay, we're back. Okay, Bo, what would we say to someone who is a Christian who perhaps has gotten tattoos earlier in life and now they're sincerely trying to serve the Lord? What would your message be to them?
Well, Jeff, what we've tried to emphasize as we've gone through some of these points for consideration is that this is a judgment issue. We haven't tried to give the impression that there are Bible verses that condemn this behavior, because the New Testament is silent about this. What the New Testament presents is principles to help guide us in the decisions we make. So this is a personal decision on the part of the person who may be considering getting a tattoo or already has tattoos. Here are the things that they need to keep in mind, that as I go through life, my behavior, my appearance is intended to glorify God. So should I do this? We mentioned, you know, some people get tattoos of Bible verses or statements that signify a glorifying of God. There certainly wouldn't be anything wrong with that kind of message. We also need to keep in mind, though, for those who may already have them, we're not suggesting, well, you know, forget about coming to the Lord or give up on trying to be saved, but we need to consider how we might impact other people who may have strong beliefs about this. A person who had a lot of tattoos on their body, my advice to them would be, if someone has said that, you know, it's offensive to them or they don't think that was right, well, you know, I'd wear clothing to cover them up to the greatest extent that I could. I'd make sure that I'm not trying to flaunt them so as to bring attention to myself. What we're saying is there's nothing inherently wrong about the tattoo itself. It's the motive, it's the impact, it's the influence that I might have from those things that could make it something that not only would be might be objectionable to other people, but might be objectionable to God.
And this warrants also a message to those who are Christians who know other Christians who have come into the body of Christ and they have tattoos. Christians with tattoos are not second-class citizens. If God forgives someone of their sins, then we need to receive them and accept them and not look down at them at all. And we need to let them know that we care about them and that that is not something that will prevent us from receiving them and accepting them in every way.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to our podcast today. We hope you'll listen to other podcasts. This is Bible Truth for Living.